I am Linda von Tilburg for BizNews. Nadia Lubowski is the director of the Anton Lubowski Educational Trust, or ALET, and she's pioneering an arts-based trauma-informed approach to early childhood education in Cape Town. And we're thrilled to have her in the BizNews studio today. Hi, welcome to BizNews, Nadia.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be on here, and thank you for having me as your guest.
And we have to ask, the family connection, Anton Lubowski, was that your father?
Yeah, that was my father, assassinated in front of our house when I was 9 years old in Namibia.
Okay, sure. Okay, so can we ask you, what inspired you to initiate this program, and what ways does art healing or facilitate healing from trauma?
So it doesn't feel like a very short answer, but a lot of it comes from that I studied to become an early childhood development, like I studied to become a kindergarten teacher and absolutely loved it, but felt that what I got taught in my studies didn't really correlate to what I had to do in the classroom. And then I became very interested through my internships as becoming a teacher that the school situations were so disparate. There were such huge differences of the children in the suburb versus the children in the townships. And I just became very fascinated with that. And then the things that I saw, and, you know, language was a big barrier for children. And then my very first job was in a township school in Philippi, Cape Town. And it was an incredible thing to observe and to be part of, to see how children can develop and flourish in the right kinds of environments. And I obviously then carried on studying and everything. And then we as a family decided, because my father's killing and his assassination has never been brought to justice, that one of the ways that we could really honor his life is through having a organization in his name that does really amazing and wonderful work. And then that's how the journey started, of having worked with different ECD centers. And now we've just in 2016, we bought a piece of land in Philippi that we want to now develop into this particular type of kindergarten that really works with the community and the parents right from the start. So it's about building circles of support around the young children, because children in the townships really suffer and encounter a lot of trauma in their lives. So wanting to mitigate that and just help with that.
So yeah. you've got the land. So how do you want to expand that?
Well, so we've got the land and we've worked with the community for a long time, and now we really want to start building. So we got a really wonderful donation from the Yane Mouton Foundation, and we're going to do the playground and the trees. But then we really want to start building classrooms and toilets and kind of build it up. But we're looking for funding for that. So we're very actively trying to find people that are interested in wanting to be part of a project like that. And currently the art therapy comes into the whole dynamic that we have been working with the community for a very long time. And we've really just begun to understand the level of trauma that people are dealing with. So we've partnered with a really amazing organization called Spiel Arts Therapy Collective. And we started to work with them in an arts therapy-based way. And the things that are emerging and the ways that even as a community, there's these relationships that begin to form, and just the kind of degree of a pause that the people get. And the children are absolutely loving it. And it's just the most phenomenal way to engage with wanting to develop something together. So it's not us wanting to come and say, okay, we're going to do this, but we're actually doing it together. And it's just been, it's been amazing, because we're really working with what the resources they already have within them. So as a creative process, it bypasses the cognitive skills, like the needing to express yourself properly and the language barriers. And it really just brings the children and the parents into their bodies, which is just such a wonderful way to work. So, yeah.
In practice, we're a kid wouldn't be able to say what kind of trauma or how he feels. He might be able to draw it or paint it.
Correct. And because the art therapy and creative ways of working engage the child's safety system. so they feel safe in that moment. Because when you deal with trauma, and I mean, I'm talking about this also very much from experience, not in any way the same kind of experience, but having had a traumatic experience in my life, I know how it shuts the brain down, it shuts things down, and you literally go into a coping mechanism. And that coping can often be like a flight or fight scenario, and kind of engaging the safety system, and engaging the safety system as often as possible gives the child that pause to be able to bypass the normal, the immediate responses to something that kind of, because it always, you know, a child will always think they're in danger, and kind of needing to rewire that, you know, just makes a really big difference for the child's ability to function in a, you know, in a cognitive way, or function in a slightly better way than they currently can without that kind of therapy in place. So, yeah.
People who might not know Philippi or that era, which is the Cape Flats, what is the source of the trauma?
So, you know, the one girl was telling us it, while we were working with the story, and they had to write something, but it was, we'd really worked so beautifully with safe places and unsafe places, and they were drawing, and they were then starting to write, and the one little girl said that she had in her class had a child shot in her class. And she was then starting to say how she has never known what to do. And she's a little bit older, so she's about 19 years old. And you know, so they see you know, people being drunk all the time, and the violence that goes around that. You know, the rapes that go on, the murders, the stabbings, you know, the immediate environment. I mean, the toilets, the running water, there just is, you know, I went to a classroom quite recently where the classroom was so full, there was literally not space for a mouse. And then these little 5-year-olds are sleeping on a concrete floor, and because there isn't enough carpet space. You know, and that's a reality. That's really happening for our children. And a child's not going to be able to say, this doesn't work for me. A 5-year-old, I can't say, but I don't like lying on a concrete floor. They just start taking it as, so it's just these ongoing aspects of their life, like a child's life that isn't, a child can't articulate what's bothering them necessarily, and if they're seeing these kinds of things, they take it as normal. You know, seeing their father's drunk, beating someone, you know, something that's very traumatic, but they don't know how to say that's what's very scary.
So can you share any stories of the kind of a success it have to you know, the effect of art on a child that is traumatized, like you described?
Yeah, so I'm not talking about solving the entire trauma and the child suddenly healed and better, because that unfortunately doesn't happen. But for instance, there was a child we were working with a story. So I often start working with a story with the children, and he was incredibly traumatized from having been bullied, and he didn't want to do the activity that we were going to do. And then I gave him some Play-Doh, and he started to make the objects that he would have wanted to write about, because he at that moment didn't want to write, and he started to make these incredible little figures that he wanted to use to describe the activity. But it was like he was sobbing. He was literally sobbing because he didn't want to write, and he didn't know that, you know, we're not you're not forced to do it. And then after sobbing and just being able to work with his hand, just being able to work with the Play-Doh, started to really calm down, and then became so creative in an alternative way to express himself. And he now comes to our sessions regularly and absolutely loves it, like wears his little shirt and, you know, is just so happy to come. And then the conversations that are starting to happen amongst the children as we're using these different stories and these activities to work with. And it's a lot of stuff that we do, dancing, painting and drawing, but also predominantly just being in your body by working with clay, working with Play-Doh. And it just, you can see it in the child. It immediately just calms them to be able to engage. I have so many others. I mean, a lot of the parents or the adults that we work with are talking about kind of the relationships that they didn't know they could have with their neighbor, because it's such a deep protection, you know, on needing to kind of protect yourself from the harms that you think are going to come at you the whole time. So there's just this wonderful relationship building that's happening amongst our participants.
So what are your future plans? Apart from what you want to try to build, in Philippi, do you want to expand? Because it seems like an amazing program to deal with trauma.
It is an amazing program. Spiel Arts Therapy Collective does a lot of the work with the adults, and they do amazing work all over the country. So we definitely want to expand into other areas, but currently our focus is on wanting to build the center to have a safe space, because that whole community doesn't have a safe space. So our workshops are like in these crammed little spaces, which, you know, trying to do the best that we can. And, you know, people need, they need a safe space to come. And the children, and it's around really building those circles of support around the young children, so that the communities and the parents and the mothers can all form safe areas for themselves. So we are really focusing on building that center. And then we would love to be able to showcase what we've been doing in that center, so that people can come and kind of just show them how important this kind of work is to do with children, and not have to have them recite Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday every single day when it ultimately means nothing to them. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it, but you don't have to do it every single day when actually the child needs such different care and attention that it needs to flourish as a human. So our main focus is building the building now, yeah.
So what do you need to do that? Is there a figure in your head?
Yeah, so we're still getting the quantity surveyor to draw up the amounts. But sort of when we initially drew up the plans in 2018, we were sitting at about 22. So I'm assuming it will be about 27 million now, and then to have a couple of years of operational costs covered as well. So we're looking for that amount, 27 million rand. Which is you know, doable from an international time or from a corporate CSI perspective, yeah.
So do you think you need help from corporates?
Yeah, absolutely. It would be really great to have a partnership with a corporate, because I think corporates need to give back in the way that they need to fix a lot of the disparities that are now existent in our country. But it also needs to come from the community. That they can't just be asking give. It has to be a very equal partnership between the giving and the taking, so that both ends are receiving something and both ends are giving something, so that it, you know, that it really becomes a collaborative partnership in making a difference in our children's lives. Yeah.
Nadia Lebowski, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.